thank you everyone for coming tonight. I know there are many other things you could have done on a Sunday evening. You could have stayed home and watched television. You could have gone to the movies, gone to the beach or something. But instead, you decided to come here. Here is where we discuss the ambitions of life and self-development. Certainly everyone is interested in developing their life. So let us consider. Let's put our thinking caps on and consider in which direction or directions our life is moving. Now there are different areas in which you can try to fulfill your ambitions. There are different avenues you can push ahead on for trying to develop your life. First of all, there is the body. You can try to improve your body, and that also means you have to satisfy the body's demands. Because, indeed, the body is a demanding kind of a machine. It won't let you exist in peace. It bugs you to do certain things. You may not think about it too much, but the body demands through thirst, it demands through hunger, it demands through temperature changes. And, of course, it has other demands which hit you as soon as you become 12 or 13. So, you may think you're living just a natural life that's under your control, when actually the reality is that your body is pushing you around. So you may think, let me expand my physical abilities. Without thinking that when you absorb yourself in the body, that means you're becoming more absorbed in the demands of the body. You can try to increase your physical strength. You can try to increase your beauty through makeup or nice clothes or working out at the gym, a fitness club. All these different things you can try. How to expand your physicality. You can even think that some of the solutions to your problems are if you explore various ways to absorb yourself more in the body and its physicality, then generally you're looking for someone else with physicality, and you think that together, if you and the other person expand the frontiers of physicality, that will improve your life. These are some of the physical ambitions that you can have. You might want to learn how to swim better, or do skydiving, or something like that. To try to get an adrenaline rush. Alright. Then you can also choose to develop your mind. The mind is like a central place for receiving stimuli from the senses. Developing your mind means becoming creative in the artistic sense. Feeling various nuances and various shades of emotions, getting involved in poetry and painting and sculpture and singing and music. In this way, you try to develop your mind, its sensitivities. Or you can decide to develop your intellect, your intelligence. You're going to learn knowledge. and you're going to develop your analytical skills. In this way, you can feel some sense of satisfaction. That is actually the whole point of self-ambition and self-development. You want to feel some satisfaction that your life is valuable. And you want to see yourself developing and expanding in some kind of way. Either your muscles are getting bigger, or your makeup is getting better, or you're being appreciated as being artsy and very expressive with your mind, or you can see yourself as being, as having acquired lots of book knowledge. You notice all these different types of people, and you've met them, they get a sense of self-satisfaction. They think out of expansion along these kind of avenues. Well, maybe we haven't mentioned people who like to expand socially, knowing more people, making themselves available to more people. Generally, that's a combination of increasing physically and increasing mentally. You know, when you like to, when you're in the mood for being around many people, when you're in a convivial kind of party mood, it makes your mind feel kind of bubbly. that you're able to give and take with many people. These are different kinds of ways you can develop yourself. In Krishna consciousness, the ancient path of bhakti yoga, you learn how to develop your soul. Your spiritual energy is more powerful than the body, the mind, and the intelligence. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita. Higher than the body is the mind, higher than the mind is intelligence, and higher than all of them is the soul. Without the spirit soul, the body doesn't do anything, the mind doesn't do anything, the intelligence doesn't do anything. The body, mind, and intelligence are material. Therefore, by nature, they are limited. You all know how your strength is limited. You know how your beauty is limited. Time determines the duration of your physical strength and your physical beauty. The mind has its limitations. Many artists and musicians become frustrated by the limitations of their mind. They can't get any more creative energy, and they get depressed. If you know any artists or musicians, poets like that, they go through this regularly. They have to go off somewhere by themselves and try to recharge their creative batteries. And they can't do that and they become depressed. Many times they turn to drugs and alcohol because they just can't create enough. The mind isn't alive enough and it doesn't allow constant creative stimulation. So they become depressed and they don't know what to do with themselves. These are the limitations of the mind. Then there are the limitations of the intelligence. It's also material. How much can you know? How much can you learn? Maybe some of you have tried going to the university, or indeed some of you have finished university. You know there's a limit to your learning appetite. There's a time at the university when you just draw the line and say, that's it, I don't want to study anymore, I've had it, I'm full. Anything that is material, by definition, has limitation. So how can you satisfy yourself by developing in that way? Of course, you might say, well, it's true that all these avenues are limited, but we can mix them up. We can develop a little physically, and then we can develop a little mentally, we can develop a little intellectually, and that way we have a full life. That sounds good, doesn't it? Why stick to just the body? No, that's not me. I'm not physical. I mean, most of the time I'm not. Why just stick to the mind? I mean, a little bit of artistic cultural expression is always good, but there's other parts of us. And why just the intelligence? You don't want to spend all your time learning book knowledge and studying. Of course, you read a few books every once in a while to show people you know something, but there's all aspects of yourself that you should develop. Okay, you may choose that route. A little bit of physical development, a little bit of mental development, a little bit of intellectual development. But all these three things are material. Therefore, they cannot give you the satisfaction you're looking for, because anything material has its limitations. Whether you concentrate on one material avenue or you juggle the material avenues, still you're dealing with matter. And matter is insufficient to satisfy you. Matter is limited. And anytime you deal with something material, you're always going to incur the feeling of staleness. This is our great enemy in material life, that feeling of staleness. Something was fresh, and then it goes stale. You all know the feeling. You get something new, and you're delighted at first. When you get a new car, a new computer, or new clothes, there's always that exhilarating feeling at first. But very quickly, that new thing loses its charm. Everything material is like that, because everything material is saturated with time, and it is time that is spoiling this freshness. The point is that no matter how you materially try to develop yourself, you will not be satisfied. You'll be frustrated by limitation, whether you're just exploring one material avenue, the body, or the mind, or the intelligence, or you're juggling all three, a bit of this one, a bit of that one, a bit of the other one, it won't make it for you. The quicker we can realize this, and the younger we are that we realize this, the more our life can be successful. You can save yourself lots of trouble and expense if you understand that nothing material will satisfy you. No matter how you mix and match the various material options. What alternative do you have? Spiritual development. But to develop spiritually, you have to understand the science of the soul. And that is not taught in any university. It's not taught in any TAFE. The science of the soul means, understand, you're not the body, mind, or intelligence. Those things are coverings of the soul. And also, the science of the soul gives you knowledge of the Supreme Soul. Because the freshness in your life is going to come from the relationship between the soul and the Supreme Soul, Krishna. That relationship is beyond matter. You, the spirit soul, are beyond matter. But in this material world, the spirit souls have made the mistake of identifying with the body, the mind, and the intelligence. Therefore, life always results in defeat, no matter how successful you are materially. Because whatever you have acquired in material life, you're going to lose it. There's no doubt about that. So that puts us in the situation of just trying to enjoy flickering happiness. It's a very nice expression. Flickering happiness. You've seen things flicker. You've seen a flickering light flickering off and on. It's kind of frustrating when there's a flickering light. It really bugs you. Say, look, either turn the light off or turn it fully on, but don't flicker it. You can't, you don't like that flickering light shining in your face. But that's the kind of so-called happiness that you find in this world. Flickering happiness. And because we're so desperate for fulfillment, because we're so desperate for expression, meaningful expression, we'll settle for flickering happiness. We just tell people, well, that's life, you know, that's the way it is, yeah. Just be content knowing that's all that is going on. But there's much more going on when you venture to the spiritual platform of life. When you start to delve into your spiritual potency, then life gets exciting. Now please don't make the mistake of thinking psychic powers are spiritual. Psychic powers are simply extended mental powers. Psychic powers are subtle materialism. There's nothing spiritual about being able to read someone's mind. That's actually quite boring because people's minds all have the same thing. There's nothing spiritual about bending a spoon with your mind. Some people bend a spoon with their hands, others do it with their mind. Still a material thing. All the so-called psychic powers are just subtle mental abilities. They will not satisfy you. You can only be satisfied by spiritual ambitions, spiritual development. That means we require precise knowledge of the spirit soul, the supreme soul. You see, there is spiritual artistic expression. That is far different from material artistic expression. Spiritual artistic expression means developing cultural forms for glorifying the relationship between the soul and the supreme soul. That's a totally different world than the cultural expression that goes on in the world of matter. The spiritual plane of life has the unlimited room for expansion that we want. You see, often in our material life, we get frustrated by this feeling that we are hemmed in, that we just can't break out of a mold, that there's always some restriction, there's always some curtailment, there's always some catch. It bugs you after a while. Finally, you don't want to think about it anymore. So you look forward to intoxication. What happens, they tell me, when you get intoxicated? I have heard that the people feel that suddenly there's no boundaries around them. They tell me that suddenly they feel that whatever they want will happen. Suddenly all their problems disappear and the mental anxiety goes away and they feel convivial and jolly and carefree. Material life is not like that at all. So to bring that kind of feeling, you try artificially through intoxication. And that's a very meager solution, a very artificial solution. And actually it makes things worse. Therefore, the more powerful the forms of intoxication that people take, the more depressed they are when they come down off their high. Because it's artificial. You've got to pay for the artificial ride. And it's a very high price. Why play around with artificial freedom? Artificial carefreeness. Why not develop on the spiritual plane, develop Krishna consciousness, and then you can actually experience the power, the potency of your spirit soul. What is the fundamental manifestation of your spiritual potency? The ability to have pure love for the Supreme Soul. That is what Krishna consciousness is about. You see, we all have this urge to be able to love without inhibition and impediment. And you know, from your experiences in material life, every time you try to love in material life, there's always some catch, some impediment, something gets in the way. But on the spiritual plane, in the world of real love, that is not so. In the expression of dynamic, ecstatic spiritual love between the individual spirit soul and Krishna, there's no impediment. There's nothing that gets in the way. does that mean those who are practicing the science of the soul, Krishna consciousness, turn their backs on the world of everyday life as we know it and become dysfunctional and they're just staring off in the sky with a glazed look in their eyes? No. Actually, the material world is the inferior energy of Krishna, and the spiritual world is the superior energy of Krishna. So both the material world and the spiritual world come from Krishna, the source of all energy. That means, in Krishna consciousness, you know how to deal with both worlds. Because both are coming from the supreme source. Both are coming from Krishna. When you restrict yourself to material development, then you leave yourself in a situation in which you have no idea about the spiritual world. So you're forced to try to express yourself in the limited realm of matter, and it's frustrating. And you have to pay for that frustration also. You have to work so hard to accumulate wealth just to be frustrated. And meanwhile, time is ravaging your body and mind and intelligence. Very quickly, you become old and feeble. And you don't even know what to do about it. If can anything be done about it? And you don't even warn your children or grandchildren. Don't struggle so hard, it's not worth it. Very quickly, old age comes. All the so-called pleasures are fleeting and transitory. Don't struggle so hard for it. How many of you had parents who told you that? Anyone? Nah, they said, get out there and go for it. Be ambitious. Make us proud of you. Be a success. Get all the things in life we didn't get. Or you better get at least as much as we got. No one warns their descendants. It's all temporary, it's all transitory, it's not fulfilling. How many older persons have you seen who are alive with knowledge of what life's about? Who are glowing with happiness? You don't see it like that. But the young ones are heading that same route. No one's warning them. Each young generation starts off with enthusiasm about the body. You know what that's like. When you're in your teens and 20s, you have enthusiasm about your body. Yeah, this body is kind of a neat thing to have. It's got feelings. It's got possibilities. Yeah, I'm going to spend quite some time exploring my body in connection with somebody else's body, especially. No one warns you. Oh, that gets to be very boring very quickly. No one warns you that it won't satisfy you. What I'm trying to say is that people are not even given the basic understanding about life anymore. Just make money. Try to enjoy your body. Express yourself materially. That's life. No, it's not life. For the fortunate persons who have ideas that there are other ambitions, the Krishna consciousness is there for opening up to you the wonders of the spiritual world. As soon as you start dealing with the energy of the soul, then you're into something. Because the soul does not undergo material restriction. You don't have to turn your back on the world to develop the energy of the soul. Simply understand there are different types of energies, all of which come from Krishna. That means that the bhakti yogi, the yogi in transcendental loving devotion, can also deal with the material energy. Because when you know Krishna, the source of all energies, you also know how to deal with the energies that emanate from Krishna. That means someone who is actually Krishna conscious is a master of dealing with all kinds of energies. Just like if you know what light is, you can also deal with shadows. But if you don't know what light is and simply try to study shadows, you'll never understand the shadows. On the floor here, you can see shadows. You know what they are because you understand light and what light does. But if you simply try to study the shadows in and themselves without relation to the light, you'll get no real understanding. So my point is, by becoming Krishna conscious, according to the timeless process of bhakti yoga, you will understand everything. What is matter? What is spirit? What is the soul? What is the supreme soul? You'll be able to rescue yourself from false pleasure and absorb yourself in real pleasure. Real pleasure is spiritual. Real pleasure is not about squeezing some so-called happiness out of matter. Just like if I told you, pick up a rock, put it in your hand, and squeeze it. Don't you feel delight? You say, that's crazy. You can try it sometimes. Get a hand-sized rock, pick it up, and squeeze it. Oh, that feels good. You wouldn't do that, would you? What's the point of, you know, how can squeezing a rock give you pleasure? But if I say, pick up something else and squeeze it, oh yeah, that's pretty nice. If the matter is in a nice form, whether it's a new computer, a body, a boat, a car, then you like to put your hands on it. But if I say, pick up a rock, but matter is matter. What's the difference? Some or other, when matter takes certain shapes, then you become very enthusiastic. But if you're smart and recognize, no matter how the matter looks, it's just matter, then you can avoid so much foolish struggling in life. When you deal with the spiritual energy, you will not be deceived. The spiritual energy allows you to clearly see its connection to Krishna, the cause of all causes. But the material energy, the shadow energy of Krishna, doesn't allow you to see its connection. In other words, the price you pay for absorbing yourself in the material energy, whether it's physical, mental, intellectual, the price you pay is that you become blinded to the complete whole. You can't be holistic because your absorption in the material energy blocks your vision of the ultimate source, and it also blocks your vision of the spiritual energy that comes from the ultimate source, just like the material energy does. You just think the material energy exists in of itself on its own. You become fascinated by matter, and that's a very frustrating experience because matter will always disappoint you. It has to, because you are spirit soul. Only because the spirit soul is in the body can the body do anything. It is spirit that sets matter into motion. Therefore, we invite you all to explore the wonders of the spiritual energy, the wonders of the spirit soul in relation to the supreme soul, Krishna. Then your life can develop without limitation. The future is indeed in your hands. From the material point of view, what is the future? In the bodily conception of life, in the materialistic conception of life, our future is that simply we're going to get another material body when we give up this present body. And we don't even know what kind of body of matter we're going to get next. It doesn't have to be a human form. By cultivating transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness, we can not only stop the cycle of repeated birth and death, changing one body of matter for another body of matter, but we can also revive our original spiritual existence. And in this way, we actually feel real liberation. We actually feel real expression in relation to Krishna. Krishna is the unlimited source of everything. So when we, through bhakti yoga, the yoga of transcendental loving devotion, when we connect to Krishna, then we are in touch with everything. Now, what is our mood when we are in touch with everything? Our mood is service. Otherwise, you cannot be in touch with everything. Without a service mood, you cannot be in touch with Krishna. Now, even those who are active on the material plane of life, they are serving. Everyone is always serving someone or something at every moment. But we are, in the material concept of life, we're always thinking we're the master. I choose to do this, I choose to do that. But everyone is a servant. Just catch yourself how you're always serving. So, bhakti yoga means that since without a doubt you are a servant in every situation, why not find the best way to serve? The best way to serve is to situate yourself in the spiritual energy and serve the source of all energy, Krishna. Otherwise, service within the material energy is frustrating because the material energy never delivers what it promises. It's hallucinatory. That's why the Sanskrit word for the material realm is called Maya. It looks like something that it's not. That is one of the disadvantages of endeavoring on the material plane, whether physically, mentally, or intellectually. You're dealing with something that gives you a false impression. Oh, you're going to be fulfilled. Oh, you're going to like this. This is really going to last. This is really substantial. Everybody's happy doing this. And it always turns out not to be true. The younger you are when you can understand this, the more successful your life can be. But if you are old right now, don't feel bad. You can change even in your old age. It is harder, because as you become older, you become fossilized. You become like stone. Your habits become like lines in stone. Sometimes people say, well, why is it that so many young people seem to take up Krishna consciousness? Well, the truth is it's easier to make big changes when you're young. But that doesn't mean there aren't any older persons. But still, the fact is there. Before you get locked in to the mold of material life, by the time you're these days, well, by the time you're in your late 20s, you're locked in. But if you can make a change before that age, it's very easy. Afterwards, it's more difficult. It can be done, though, certainly. We're inviting you all to explore the glories of the spirit soul and the glories of the supreme soul, Krishna. Then your ambitions will know no limitation. So, I hope that some of you will explore this subject further, and if we can be of any assistance in your self-development in Krishna consciousness, please let us know. All right. If you have any questions, you can ask. Yes? Can I please describe the find? Alright, can I have a glass of water, please? That's a very good question. Every human being should be concerned with what is real happiness. Happiness is actually something that has no beginning and end. As soon as you are dealing with something that purports to be happiness, but it has a beginning and end, then you should know this is not the real thing. You see, the body has a beginning and end. And if you try to be happy with things that have a beginning and end, you'll be frustrated because you're not the body. You are the spirit soul, which has no beginning and end. Since you are the spirit soul, which has no beginning and end, you need to know about the happiness that has no beginning and end. So Krishna consciousness means to put the two together. The spirit soul that has no beginning and end with the spiritual happiness that has no beginning and end. I'll connect with the uni, I'll connect with a job, I'll connect with a trip overseas, I'll connect with money, I'll connect with drugs, I'll connect with music. Now find out what is the ultimate connection. Then you found real happiness. The ultimate connection is beyond the clutches of time. We have this loving propensity, but the kind of love that we know about always meets an end, and that wounds our heart and makes us hard-hearted and cynical. If you actually want to be a successful lover, then you must come to the spiritual platform. You must come to the Krishna conscious platform. Okay? Anything else? Yes? You have to... Everyone's devoted to something. Let's say you're devoted to stamp collecting. So you're serving the stamps. You ever seen stamp collectors? Look at this stamp. Oh, amazing. This stamp is from a remote country in the middle of Africa. None of the other stamp collectors have such a stamp. I'll cherish it. I'll take care of it very nicely. I'll place it so carefully in my stamp book. And then the next time we have a stamp collecting convention, I'll show everybody I've got it. Those are devotees of stamps. Everyone's devoted to something. He's devoted to basketball. Now you have to find the best thing to be devoted to. He's also devoted to Krishna. Mixture. Find out what the best thing is to be devoted to. And if it's the best thing, concentrate on it. That's better than a mixture. So, everyone is always serving. On the material plane, you are devoted and you're rendering service. I was watching some surfers off the, at the beach in Perth 2 days ago. They're very devoted and they're rendering service. I saw them bobbing out there in the water, just waiting for the perfect wave. That's serving. They have to go through all that to wait for the right wave. Just bobbing there. With their wetsuits on. Now, since you have to render service, why not understand what the best way to serve is? Spiritual service means that you're dealing with things that have no beginning and end. Therefore, there's no frustration. You are the spirit soul. It is natural that you connect to the supreme soul. But we have a negative understanding of service because in the material realm, to serve is a humiliating thing. But in the spiritual realm, service goes on in its pure way. And it's the most exalted thing. This is what makes pure spirituality a bit hard to understand, because we have these negative conceptions due to material experience. We have negative conceptions about service and our identity. We've experienced such frustration that we think that we want to get rid of our identity completely. That means we can't believe that there can be such a thing as pure ego. How can there be pure love without pure ego? And all we know about is the false ego. In this way, many people think real spirituality is getting rid of your ego, becoming selfless, disappearing, and then boom, you're just lost in the ocean of whatever. Okay? You had a question, I believe? That's a very good question. Basically, what you're saying is, might it be that experience is the best teacher or a good teacher? Now, the ancient Vedic knowledge of India will tell you that experience is a lousy teacher. Because while you're experiencing things, you're getting banged up. The intelligent way to learn is by hearing. Just like, let's say, suppose you were going to travel to Thailand or Bali. Wouldn't you first, like, consult your friends who've been there before? And say, oh, don't go to this place, you'll get ripped off. Or make sure you go to that place, you know, the parties are all night. So you'll develop a whole fund of knowledge before you go there. And that way you hope to avoid pitfalls. You'll get your Lonely Planet's guidebook. Whenever I'm in Bali or Singapore, you know, I see the Aussies with their Lonely Planet guidebook. Yeah. They're consulting other travelers. Hey, yeah. Did you just come from what's the best you know what's the best backpackers place to stay there? Oh, that one, huh? Okay. Thanks, mate. You know. They want to hear, you know? And that way they can have the best experience. So when you try to learn about life by experiencing it, you leave yourself wide open to damage. Let's say that there's an area of the city with a contagious disease. Now, you might say, well, let me just wander around that area of the city and see what happens. I'll experience. But your wandering leaves you wide open to contamination. If you understand that the material realm is full of contamination, then you'll see that by wandering through it, experiencing this and that, you're picking up germs, so to speak. What are these germs? You can feel them in your life. Material desires. You feel these burning desires. I've got to do this, I've got to do that. They come to you in the form of bodily and mental demands. Your body starts pushing you around. Come on, come on. That's a sign that a germ's in your system. What you should be feeling is the urge for enlightenment. That's the urge of the soul. But while you're busy trying to experience material life, you become full of these material desires and you become damaged. You get hurt, you become angry, you abuse others, and that makes you very hard-hearted. And makes your intelligence diminished. This would lead us to a discussion about karma, how every action has a reaction. By engaging in any kind of activity, you are getting reactions. So, you may think, well, I'm just accumulating experience. I'm just traveling, you know, seeing how things go, seeing what life's about. But you're doing things. You're acting, and therefore you're accumulating for yourself countless reactions, which you won't see in this life, maybe, but you'll certainly see them in the next life. That's the dangerous thing about learning by experience. You pay a big price for it. Better to learn by hearing. Just like you take a Lonely Planet's guidebook when you go overseas. Better to take the Vedic guidebooks from ancient India, map out your life, and avoid so much trouble. That's a very good question. Anything else? So, what comes next? All right. Well, thank you all for listening and sharing. Hare Krishna.